Today is a day for truth.
That's how it starts. The fever. The rage.
He has the power to wipe out the entire human race, and we have to destroy him.
Black and blue. God versus man.
Day versus night.
You've been here, but you don't know this story.
Nothing's changed, really. I mean, everything's changed, but nothing's changed. That's the way you want it to be, really.
It couldn't be more exciting. It's still surreal.
I can die now.
My whole life has led to this moment. I'm in heaven.
And welcome to the podcast, To Be Determined. As we still do not have a name, hopefully we'll have a name soon. But until then, I'm Brian, or you can call me B. Willie for short. With us tonight is John Z. is back.
Hello,
John.
Hello, everyone.
And back from his tail fishing exploits, we have Brian Ankenbauer with us. We're Ank Zone. Ank, what's up, buddy?
Not much, man. What's going on?
Nothing much, just another day. So welcome to the show. Welcome. Brian Birchie is on vacation, could not join us. He's with his family. He's with us in spirit. And so I will do, I'll just say a blah on behalf of Brian Birchie. So there you go.
I think he's in D.C. participating in race riots.
I'm not touching that, man.
I think he's down there giving his meh to every singer.
Yeah, they're like, that's ridiculous, and he's like, meh and blah.
All right.
I went to the Lincoln Memorial, meh. As nothing on the Washington Memorial, which he was the president who came first.
Blah.
There you go. All right. He's not here to defend himself, boys. So we'll just leave it at that. So we got, if you couldn't tell by the intro, we're going to talk about the new Superman trailer tonight. We're also going to highlight, obviously, the Star Wars Comic-Con news, and as well as we're going to get into the All-Star game, which is right here close to us here at home in Cincinnati. So what we're going to do here, we're going to play the trailer real quick so everybody can hear it, and after that, we'll talk about it. So here we go.
Today is a day for truth. The world needs to know what happened and to know what he stands for. That kind of power is very dangerous. Let the record show that this committee holds him responsible.
That's how it starts. The fever. The rage that turns good men cruel.
This bat vigilante is like a one-man reign of terror. You don't get to decide what the right thing is. Nobody cares about Clark Kent taking on the Batman.
This means something. It's all some people have. It's all that gives them hope.
People hate what they don't understand. Be their hero, Clark. Be their angel. Be their monument. Be anything they need you to be. Or be none of it. You don't owe this world a thing. You never did.
Do you know the oldest lie in America, Senator?
The devils don't come from hell beneath us.
They come from the sky.
20 years in Gotham, how many good guys are left? How many stayed that way?
He has the power to wipe out the entire human race.
I
The red capes are coming. The red capes are coming.
Okay, so again, if you haven't, that doesn't do it justice. I suggest you get online and watch it for yourself. But there's the audio track from it.
Was that a pun on words? It doesn't do it justice.
It does not do it justice. Exactly. Nice pickup, my friend.
It doesn't do it a dawn of justice.
A dawn of justice. Oh. Thanks, Buffy. But yeah, this is the first time I've been excited about this movie. I didn't think the teaser did anything. If anything, it made me kind of not want to see it. I was a little disappointed. This one, I got to admit, I'm starting to get a little excited. What do you guys think?
I'm really excited to see this. I was excited before just because everybody said the same thing when Heath Ledger got cast as the Joker. And they were like, you know, he's going to do a horrible job. He was a knight's tale and everything else. You know, he's not going to do that good of a job. And when everybody said, you know, Ben Affleck got picked to do Batman, I'm curious to see how he does.
Mm. Yeah, I got to admit, I mean, the one thing I said, I said it like everybody else did. I was like, really? Ben Affleck? Batman? I don't know. Maybe. But I'm so far, I like what I see. I'm really intrigued with the Lex angle, the Lex Luthor angle in this, by this trailer.
Did you see what I mean? I took it as the Joker, the part where the Batman suit has Batman
yeah.
the jokes on you.
So my question is Lex pulling the strings? Is he pulling the Joker strings or is he both? Is he Lex Luthor and the Joker in this movie? Because we don't see the Joker yet. He's not in this trailer.
I think that's actually going to tie into their
the Suicide Squad.
The Suicide
movie.
Squad movie,
which it's supposed to.
And I think that, you know, just to watch, you know, the other thing, you know, me and John were talking earlier about it, the part where, you know, how they're tying the movies together, you know, just to see, you know, just when they show clips from the first movie where they're tearing apart the buildings in the city and one of them turns out to be, you know, Wayne Financial.
Right. And it almost looks like Wayne loses a part of his family there. I don't know if he in this storyline he happens to have kids or a wife or something. And
does he have any family members left?
And it looks like he loses. It looks like he has some sort of a loss when the financial power goes down.
Well, I think he just saves a girl in that part. And when they refer to you let your family die, I think they're more talking towards his employees. You know how when companies say, you know, feel like a family.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
I took it more as that, more so than a family, because if they talk about him having a family, that goes way off the reservation as far as what Batman had.
Well, yeah. Go ahead, John.
I was saying, in the comics, I think he technically, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had a kid somewhere down the road.
I'm just wondering. Go ahead.
Finish. I was going to say, of course, then again, DC has like retroactively destroyed so much of their like past storylines that they've done, so it could be anything.
Well, my question is, I'm just wondering if what point is this Batman? Has he become Batman? Is this the reason he becomes Batman in this case? Is Bruce Wayne in this storyline decided to turn the other cheek until Superman? You know, until the fall of the building, and that's what the catalyst is for him to become Batman.
I think it's supposed to, like, take place, like, maybe after The Dark Knight Rises, after he's hung up the mantle, and then this is what, because in the Frank Miller comics, which this seems to be following, Batman has gone into retirement for about 10 years, again. Mm. So if we're going from The Dark Knight to The Dark Knight Rises to Batman versus Superman, and Batman seems to get a pretty big, time off here.
He's got a heel.
Yeah, he's got, like, a nice little vacation going on.
Right.
But according to the comics, he's supposed to come out of retirement to fight Superman because he thinks that, you know, he's gone unchecked for so long.
Right.
I think
the premise of the whole thing, I mean, I don't know which comic storyline it's going to follow or not, is, you know, Batman is fighting for Earth because he feels that Superman, like you said, is not being checked, so he can destroy the whole human race if he wanted to and do all the other stuff. So he's kind of battling Superman. He doesn't really, until they. My guess is at the end, because you get glimpses of Wonder Woman and everything else in there, that
right.
Superman is against everything that's bad.
Well, and then the thing that got me excited about seeing this trailer was the fact that there was so much I disliked about Man of Steel, which hearing Mark Zuckerberg using that line, black versus blue, day versus night, I'm like, well, if we're following the color scheme of Man versus Steel, shouldn't it be like light gray versus dark gray? I mean, there's no color in that damn movie.
Yeah, it was all dark.
And it's like, if we're still doing the same thing, it's going to be like, hey, what muted color is fighting what muted color today?
Well, I picked that out of the trailer and put it in our intro today because I was like, yeah, I was like, I think that's going to be kind of like a big tagline in the future. I was like, that's, I thought it was kind of epic kind of feel to it. So I'll tell you another point. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, what got me excited was the fact that, like, the ending of Man of Steel, I remember watching it thinking, you know what, for as much catastrophic events as that machine of Zod's created, I think Superman fighting Zod caused more destruction and death than his machine.
Yeah.
Watching that, I was just like, oh my God, that is not Superman. And then hearing in this trailer, it's like, oh, so he's going to be accountable for all of that. So it's like, all right, maybe they realized they made bad mistakes in that last movie and are correcting them.
Yeah, I think, you know, I like how they're building off the last one. Another thing I really like is Jeremy Irons is going to be Alfred, it looks like, or, you know, at least it seems like it to me. And I can't think of a darker voice you could use or personality for a voice of reason for Batman than Jeremy Irons. So I kind of like that. I think that's kind of cool. What do you guys think about that?
Oh, Scar is your voice of reason. That's terrifying.
That's Scar is your voice of reason. Be prepared.
Bruce, I am a monkey's uncle.
But I thought that was special. No, go ahead.
I still think it's funny that we got Mrs. Incredible.
Yeah.
As the we're gonna hold him accountable. Like what? What?
My husband has been off on too many business trips.
I know. Frozone. Samuel L. Jackson in the movie too.
Now that would be badass, just bad, I should say. Forgive me.
Oh, that'd be the Marvel DC crossover right there. They'd be getting Nick Fury into DC.
Well,
get me off the grid.
Well, you got whatchamacallit. It's gonna be he was a Green Lantern, and now he's gonna be
Deadpool.
So you got one crossover.
And while I can still say it before I get cut off, I am excited. Those trailers are awesome. And I am really, really excited to see the Deadpool movie.
Oh, me too.
I love the test footage. I thought it was brilliant. I mean, if you haven't seen the test footage, for those of us listening, those of you listening out there, get online. It is not PG, so don't let your kids listen to it, but it's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. And cool at the same time. Definitely worth checking out.
It's almost like Marvel meets Van Wilder. That kind of sense of humor.
Almost, yeah.
Deadpool was always, like, fourth wall breaking in all of his comics, so this is, they nail the character in the trailers, and I think before X-Men Origins came out, they were actually saying that, oh yeah, we like Ryan Reynolds' sense of humor, yeah, and they actually, for 10 years, they wrote the character of Deadpool off of Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
So, this fits, but it's just X-Men Origins completely trashed the character of Deadpool.
Right, well, they made him mute.
Yeah.
How do you take Ryan Reynolds' humor and you just mute him?
Well, Deadpool. Deadpool's, like, sarcastic.
Right.
That's what makes his character awesome, is all the jokes he says, all these times he, like, turns to the comic panel or the TV screen and, like, makes jokes right at the audience.
Right,
Instead, you take away his voice. It's like, well, way to go. You just killed the character. Great. Fantastic.
Yeah, I would think it would be cool if they wrote him like, you know, he's just crazy and he just kind of turns off and starts talking to the air. And instead it's the lens to us, which I think would be funny. But I don't know. That's how I would try to work it. But that's just me. But
well, it looks like that's what they're doing. It looks fun.
Yeah. So, anyway, so back to Man or not Man of Steel. Sorry about that, John.
No. There's no going back.
So, final thoughts, Batman versus Superman, John?
Yeah, this trailer looks like it's addressing all of the concerns that the fans of Superman have had about Man of Steel, and I had a lot of concerns myself about Man of Steel, so I'm happy that it's addressed in the trailer, and I'll give it a go. Although I really wish that the original casting of Christina Hendricks that I heard about 4 years ago was still in play, and because at the time they were talking about putting Christina Hendricks as Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah, I'm drooling right now just thinking about it. But
yeah,
because
I'll leave it at that.
I'm a Christina Hendricks like stalker. Anyway,
ditto. Oh, you're the other guy in the other bush.
Yeah, that's me. Brian, your final thoughts, sir, on this.
I'm hoping that they don't that DC doesn't try to promote it too much to the point where we've seen too much of the movie. Because I think what's happened with a lot of the other movies, what Marvel did in the beginning, is what made the original Marvel stuff really good. Was they didn't show you a ton of stuff, so when you saw it in the theater, you were seeing it for the first time. But a lot of the newer Marvel movies, they're showing you a lot of the punchlines. They're showing you a lot of the action sequences and stuff like that. So I'm just hoping DC doesn't try to do that much to it before it comes out.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
No, I think it's a valid point. I think, yeah, you don't want to sink the ship. Loose lips sink ships, you know, or whatever they say. But yeah, I agree with you 100% there. And my final thought, I like it. I'm excited, but I am a little worried about the CG. The whole when he's bringing down the missile, when the whatever it is, I guess the Mars. I guess that's supposed to be the Mars missile, and he brings the capsule down. Whatever. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was actually a real set. They actually used a real set. It wasn't CG.
Yeah, right.
That's really Henry Cavill or whatever, like lifting an actual rocket over his head, like he trained for 3 years, like yeah. Learning how to shoulder press that.
Yeah, he did that Matthew McConaughey workout video.
Oh, is that what it was? All right.
All right. I'm your savior here to rescue this shuttle now. All right.
Oh, dear Lord. I just had like a flash forward of him in Star Wars. That's just not a good sight right there. Anyway, speaking of Star Wars, gentlemen, there was a ton of Star Wars news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con. They released a brand new, it's not exactly a trailer. It's almost like a mini documentary.
I would say it's like a featurette.
Yeah, like something you might see on a DVD in the future or a Blu-ray, like an extra. Like a behind the scenes making almost, except it not quite as long, obviously. It was very, very entertaining. You got to see some new stuff. We got to see some behind the stuff and some personal testimony of what it's like to be in Star Wars, and obviously some new scenes from Star Wars as well. We also had the whole cast was on there. On the Comic-Con stage, and we just happen to have like a little highlight reel of that. And I'm going to play this for you now, and we'll talk about it afterwards.
This is Star Wars Force Awakens panel.
We're editing. We have a cut of the movie. We're doing. We're in this extraordinary moment where we're doing. Fine-tuning, and I say extraordinary because in this business, a lot of times there are release dates before there are scripts, and to have the time and to have Disney give us the time to do it right is not a small thing. And so we're working hard to make the movie more of what it wants to be.
The guy that brought me in is the genius that brings us all here, who is George Lucas. Yeah. He was... absolute breakthrough monster genius, and none of us would be here if it weren't for him. And he called me and said, will you do this for me? And we started to do Empire Strikes Back, and then we did Return of the Jedi, and then 30 years passed, and those movies just like never went out of my life or my consciousness. And then a call came again and said, will you come back and meet these characters again 30 years later. So there wasn't even any disjunction between my life.
We actually brought this character we call Baba Joe as a nickname. So let's, should we bring Baba Joe out?
Yeah,
see
I think
what
so.
Happens?
Absolutely.
Let's see. This character is built by Neil Scanlon and the Creature Department. Let's see if this works.
So. Okay, yeah, Neil Scanlon. These guys have done an unbelievable job, as you can see.
What's amazing is seeing the people who operate these things. And the real benefit of having creatures like this, you can see that character right there. You know, there are five people who are operating that creature.
Well, obviously with the saga films, which JJ is starting the first, which is The Force Awakens, 8 and 9 will be part of that saga. But we're also making anthology films, standalone movies. And Gareth Edwards actually starts shooting in about 3 weeks. So the first one will go into production very soon.
There he is. There's Peter over there by the microphone.
As an excited, eager actor, you know, I wanted to talk to Harrison about piloting and about how should I do it? You know, is there any special things that I should do? And just how do you work with the controls? And he said, it's fake. And also it's in space, so it doesn't really, the same stuff doesn't apply. Yeah, the character of Poe, he takes on that legacy, not only of Han, but of Luke, of being these heroic pilots. Because if you think about it, these characters, they lived those stories that we all grew up with. They grew up at the same time as those stories, you know? I mean, Poe was probably, he was there watching on Yarvin, you know, when the medal ceremony was happening, thinking, I want to be that. I want to be a hero, and I want to take up that mantle. And I think that's what he does, you know? He even sometimes recklessly so. But yeah, so really connecting it to that old world, it was special.
Going from an outside fan, going into filming Star Wars, I think working with the legends that have already made this kind of universe and are coming back to it was everything we could have hoped for and more. They're funny and warm and welcoming and made us feel as part of the universe as they already are. So it was great.
We didn't really have a lot of conversations about bad or evil, actually, when we were shooting it. It was more, what do you think is the difference between being bad and being right? I think, which is a huge difference.
Donald, what can you tell us about your character?
I am evil.
Okay. Are you, though, really? Is your character flat out evil?
He's British, so yep.
I found it exciting because I found it not only exciting that there was a female stormtrooper, but it was the opportunity to explore a female character that is totally not about the way she looks in flesh. And that armor is exterior and it's more like the outside feeding in. And I just found it very exciting that underneath that armor is a woman. And I think it makes it really more relevant than ever.
Now, Carrie Fisher!
We picked up where we left off, but we left off a while ago. So it was a long leave off, and then we're back.
Mark Hamill!
I think the fans understand that. I mean, I'm one of them. And they're obviously, over my career, they've been a really important part of my life. And, you know, because without you guys, we're nothing.
I will tell you that it felt great. It felt I wasn't so sure it would, but the company was the right company. The director was the right director. Larry wrote us a wonderful story, and I was proud and grateful to once again be involved.
There's another significant star of this series, and it's the music. Who likes the music to the Star Wars movie? So, like, wouldn't it be cool if we did something insane right now? Who wants to go see a live Star Wars concert right now?
So there you have it. At the end there, they were going to a live Star Wars concert. So that's pretty cool. What you heard there, and I realize some of it, you know, the audio does not do the video justice. The first couple people you heard there were Kathleen Kennedy, as well as J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan, who actually helped write Return of the Jedi as well as Empire Strikes Back, more importantly. So they were talking there about their experiences and whatnot. I think a couple things that I took away from this, Domhnall Gleeson's character apparently is a bad guy. Some people thought he was some sort of offspring of Obi-Wan Kenobi or possibly Luke's son. At least that was the early rumors. And it turns out he's just a general in the Empire. So I thought that was kind of big. What'd you think about that, John?
I actually didn't. I try to stay away from, like, the interviews before I see a movie because I've done it too much, like, in past films where I've watched, like, too much of the interviews and everything beforehand, and it's always, like, kind of got me writing the story out in my head. So it's something, like, I try to, like, hold off on, like, how much I hear because it kind of taints what I hear going into a film.
Gotcha. Yeah, I Brian, go ahead. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat as John. Although if I really, really want to see a movie, you know, I try to watch as much as I possibly can. And then, you know, but it's the same token. If I try to think about it, you know, ahead of time and I'm like, well, this is where I think the story should go, blah, blah, blah. And then right. I go see the movie and they don't go that direction and the movie sucked. And you're like, oh, well, they could have done this and made it a lot better.
Well, I mean, I've been, obviously, as a giant Star Wars fan that I am, I've seen the pictures of these people. And Domhnall Gleeson, when you see him, he's red hair, long, and he's got the part to the side. He's even got, like, a red beard. He almost looks like a young Obi-Wan Kenobi kind of character. So automatically, when I first saw his picture, I'm thinking, good guy. That's exactly it. I was kind of shocked when they said, no, he's a general in the Empire. And I'm like, oh, okay. Did not pick up on that and did not think that was going that way. So it sounds like we have three good guys. The Poe Dameron character I'm still a little curious about. Apparently he's going to be a pilot, as you kind of heard him joking around with Harrison Ford because he wanted to know how it worked. And curmudgeon Harrison goes, well, it's fake.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually remember hearing an interview with Harrison Ford about, you know, when he first got on this, like the Millennium Falcon set. He actually he asked Lucas. He's like, okay, so I see all these controls. How do I fly this thing? And Lucas said, I don't know, just make it up. I will say this, for as much, you know, credit as I will give Lucas for bringing us the Star Wars universe. Every story I read about him, he is not an actor's director, and a lot of actors will say that too.
Well, you know, he's famous for quoting, especially because he created the modern day editing machine, because he says he's a lazy person. So I think that kind of, not to say that George is completely lazy, but, you know, he kind of throws stuff together and throws out there without probably doing a lot of homework.
And I think my favorite Harrison line to Lucas was, George, you can write the shit, but we have to say this shit.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, I remember reading that.
Well, if you watch the whole thing, he even brings that up. He goes, it takes me a few minutes to get the coordinates from the Nava computer, and all. They were joking around about that. They were kind of going after Lawrence Kasdan for that. But so, but I'm really excited. Speaking of Lawrence Kasdan, I don't think you could have a better writer involved or director, in my opinion. But just sticking with the writing alone, that's the main reason I'm so excited about the new Star Wars movies is Lawrence Kasdan's on board. And,
Yeah, I mean, he's easily the best writer they've had attached to the whole movie, like any of the movies or any of the, you know, embodiments of the universe.
Exactly. I mean, it's just and now I'm hearing he's writing the second anthology movie. They're the anthology, as you heard, they're making movies in between the episodic adventures or movies, and him and his son are now writing the what's going to be the second anthology movie, which is going to be apparently a young Han Solo adventure movie. So,
which I think it's there was like this movie forum that I'm on Facebook, and people were like trying to throw out names like, hey, who would make a good young Harrison Ford? And someone mentioned Chris Pratt, and they're like, well, he's already going to be Indiana Jones, so we can't do that. So and someone actually brought up Jensen Ackles from Supernatural, which I'm like, hey, that's cool.
I could see that.
Dean Winchester is Han Solo. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I mean, I could see that.
That would be awesome, man.
And he has that, when he delivers his lines in Supernatural, he has that humor that Han has in the movies.
And he treats his, he treats his Impala the way that, you know, Han would treat the Falcon.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, I had never considered that until you just brought that up. He would be a perfect fit. Yeah, I would not, I love Chris Pratt, but he's already in Guardians of the Galaxy. You know,
I'm giving the quotation fingers right here. Where I say, and he's already Indiana Jones.
Right, right.
Ooh, fact, and he's in Jurassic Park and Jurassic World and the other Jurassic one that's coming out next.
Yeah, and they're like John said last week, they're trying to play him up as an Indiana Jones character already. So. Yeah. Yeah. So
and he's already the biggest box office draw right now. I mean, like 2 years in a row, he's had not just two of the biggest movies of last year, but right this year, he's in one of the biggest movies of all time.
Yeah. 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 By far, I still haven't seen the movie. I saw you on Facebook. You saw it finally, but I still haven't seen it. But
I have finally seen it. Until you see it, we'll hold that for another discussion where we will have our Jurassic World Day.
Jurassic World Day, okay.
Yes, we must make it a thing that everyone has to have seen that movie in order to
our points. At least three of us, because we know Bertie won't go see it.
That's right, he won't see it. But he'll have a lot to say about it.
Well, we'll see. I think Birch is going to come around to the Star Wars thing eventually. We'll see. We'll see. I have faith.
Here's hoping.
He'll red box it.
You know, the funny thing about it is I remember, like, and just listening to what you were posting about Abrams talking about the Star Wars franchise and remembering everything he was talking about it as well. I remember when Star Trek, when he first was talking about that, and the trailers in, like, March and April were coming out for it, they were saying, this isn't your parents' Star Trek. And he was talking about how he had never watched Star Trek before.
Right.
And he approached it like it was like this new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is like, I will show my dated geekness here. I did not watch any of the Star Trek TV shows or any of the movies until I saw the reboot. And that got me interested in the old series and the old franchise. And, you know, it actually made me appreciate it a lot more. Like, okay, this is what they were trying to do. And then I saw Into Darkness and I realized, oh, this is why you need someone who respects the Star Trek universe to actually make it.
Yeah, I got my own opinion. I would love to make this another topic for another show, but I'll just touch on it a little bit. I'll say the first movie was like an homage to the original cast, the original crew, you know, the original series even.
Oh, it's great.
And it was great. It was hilarious. It was funny, but he had a hard time transitioning that to the next movie and how they did the whole Khan thing and trying to switch it up between Kirk and Spock and, you know, who died. Spoiler alert, and who died in those and whatnot off of Star Trek II. It just didn't. It was, I didn't care for it. You know, it was okay, but it wasn't spectacular.
It's really lazy writing when you take, like, a single page of the most beloved moment in the Star Trek universe and you copy it word for word and just switch two characters' names in their dialogue boxes.
Right, exactly.
And that's just, you don't do that. That's like, just like, kissing on sacred ground. But go ahead.
not to take away from the action of the movies, I like I said in the last show, I think the Star Trek movies he made were Star Wars movies, Star Wars versions of the Star Trek movies in some ways.
But yeah, that's what I was going to bring up was like listening to him talk about Star Wars. I've never heard him this, you know, passionate about the universe. He was more passionate about being on Star Wars than he was on Star Trek.
Oh yeah.
So, and it's going to be, he's going to do a lot of justice to it, I think.
Well, I think it goes a long way even to the little details he does. I mean, for Star Wars Celebration, he bought pizza for people that were standing in line. For this Comic-Con thing, he personally bought the donuts and the coffee. If you watch the whole thing, it's an hour long, and any of our listeners out there, I highly encourage you to go out and watch the entire thing. And I didn't have time to make up my own clip. The clip I played was from io9.com, and appreciate them providing that for us tonight. You'll hear him talk about that. You can just see the guy's love and the amount of attention. And he even talks about that in the Comic-Con, is how he can't get caught up in being a fan. He said he was talking about shooting a scene inside the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon. He said, well, while that is bitching, to quote unquote him, he said that's bitching to shoot a scene in the Millennium Falcon, you still have to take a step back, and you still have to remember the basics of storytelling. You know, why is he here, and what's exciting, what's scary, what's going to create the storyline. And so he's paying an incredible amount of attention to detail, I think, and I think that speaks volumes.
Well, I think it's because being such a super fan of Star Wars, he knew exactly what he wanted to do before he even got a chance to even do it. He knew, like, even the featurette that we were able to see, it talks about how he wanted to do real scenes, not the CGI stuff. He wanted to do real scenes. They're actually shooting in a desert.
He's building sets. How many movies will actually build a set anymore?
Because he knows that the original Star Trek or Star Wars that we saw were way better than the three that came out later when Lucas was just trying to milk it for all it was worth.
Well, yeah, the prequels. I mean, I've said it before. I'm a prequel defender, not a hater, but I will agree that there was an overuse of CGI, and he got away from the practical effects, which let the believability factor, even though it's a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago, galaxy far, far away, it still lost a lot of the magic when he did that. And
yeah, it became too unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm really, I don't know what you guys thought when I saw that crashed TIE fighter in the sand and the featurette that they played. I was like, oh my God, they actually did that. You know?
It looked very, 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 very well done, and it looked real. You know, we're not going to have to, like, well, you can see, you know, like Forrest Gump and the feather.
Is it
CG or is it superimposed?
Superimposed.
You know, we're not going to have to worry about that because a lot of the stuff they're doing is actually real.
Real, yeah. Real explosions, that's awesome. I mean, that's great. I love that.
I think the other thing that's kind of neat to note, too, is the fact that he's actually using film stock cameras, because one, two, three, four, five films I've worked on, we've shot on like Arri Alexas, which are like the digital equivalent of cinema grade cameras that take no film stock whatsoever. It's you pop in your, you know,
video recorder.
you pop in your 128 gigabyte memory stick in there, and you wait till it's full. And you can shoot as many takes as you want. And I remember talking to somebody who said that after, Roger Deakins shot Skyfall, he was saying that Deakins, who's like one of the greatest cinematographers still working today, said, oh, wow, yeah, I'm sold on digital. That it can do anything that film stock does. That was apparently the death nail for film stock.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, people have just been shooting everything digital. Like, I think, I want to say, like, the last 10 to 15 cinematography nominees at the Oscars were all digital films.
Mm.
Because it's cheaper to shoot digital, and you don't have to worry about so much of the logistical problems of it. But, you know, seeing that little clip of him in the featurette in the desert, turning on the camera and seeing the little the flipping of the gears playing the film stock, I'm like,
yeah, you hear the clicking. Yeah,
It's like well, you've killed whatever stock you're using because you've exposed it to the sunlight. But it's so awesome to see you using film cameras.
Exactly, like Mark Hamill says, you're keeping one foot in outside of the digital world, you know. So, even in that featurette, you see Gleason, the redheaded guy I'm talking about earlier, the general that we now know is in the Empire, in the background. You know, it's a real set. That all that could have been CGI, and in the prequels, it probably would have been. And
the featurette too.
He actually let out, and this is kind of a little quick and spoiler alert. I need to come up with a little spoiler alert thing, but he lets out the name of the base for the First Order, which is the new Empire in the new movie. It's called Starkiller. Is the name of the base, apparently, which is a throwback, an homage to the original screenplay for Star Wars, or original
Deke
draft.
Yep.
Right, Luke Starkiller, right. So.
Deke Starkiller.
I'm sorry, yeah, Deke. I'm sorry, yeah, exactly. So I thought that was kind of cool, too. We heard Kathleen Kennedy give us a little bit of Rogue One information, which is the first standalone movie, which will be the one after Episode 7. They'll give it between Episode 7 and 8, and they're not, you know, she didn't say Rogue One because right now they're contractually obligated not to say Rogue in any way, shape, or form because of the new Mission Impossible coming out in a couple of weeks. Rogue Nation, I believe, is it?
Oh, it's not Rogue from X-Men. She's getting her own spinoff, or would that be like giving too many females credit in comic book universe?
No, what I read up, no, that would be cool, but... But yeah, apparently it's Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. So they can't say the word Rogue until Mission Impossible comes out, and then after that,
how could that be legit? There's a new movie coming out called Brian, so I can't use my first name until that movie comes out.
That's right. You're legally owned by 20th Century Fox right now until it's not in theaters anymore.
Well, the idea is so that nobody gets confused about what they're talking about or what movie they're in. It's a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo, if you ask me, but or BS, whatever you want to call it. She's talking about Rogue Nation, which apparently is going to start filming in 3 weeks, which was a little bit sooner than I thought. I thought we were at least a couple months away, but I didn't realize we were already approaching. And I guess it makes sense that, you know, we're already that. Yeah, we kind of need to be in production, I guess, if they're going to release this thing next year. So kind of excited about that. We don't know much about the casting, unfortunately.
You know anything about the storyline?
It's going to be a war movie. It's going to be a Star Wars war movie, and it's about getting the Death Star plans for the first Death Star. So how A New Hope picks up with with the Death Star plans being given to Princess Leia, and they're chasing her. Well, this is how they get those plans.
Okay.
I'm hearing that. Trying to remember some names off the top of my head, and I cannot remember any right now.
When is this supposed to be released next year?
I believe we're looking at the summer.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's...
They should have been shooting, months ago. They're going to try to get any kind of effects out.
Apparently, they're shooting with a new camera. I need to look at these details. I wasn't prepared to talk about this much, but they're shooting in some sort of new camera, because if you go online on YouTube, you can actually find the thing they did for Star Wars Celebration, which was just a real quick thing they threw together with this new camera, and it looks really cool. It looks really amazing. It's like a jungle scene. And you see, they kind of look up through the jungle, and you see a TIE fighter fly over, and in the background, in the sky, it's like a giant moon that that's no moon, but it's like a giant thing of the Death Star, and it's in the background in the sky, and it looks like a giant moon rising.
Oh, you know what? I think I have seen that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's obviously all everybody shot it with their phones and stuff and smuggled it out, but
right.
But it's,
what's the second standalone?
Second standalone.
That's a Han Solo.
That's going to be the Han Solo adventure.
Han Solo one, yeah.
Yeah, we don't know the third one yet. So
in the Han Solo one, I wonder if they're going to do anything with the, like, with Jabba the Hutt and stuff.
I would.
Well, they're going to shoot him in like a human stand-in, and then like digitally put a like you know a giant snail in later for someone to like walk over digitally.
Maybe they'll show us how he got onto that ship for the sand scene and that.
Supposedly, this is how he becomes the smuggler. So I imagine we're going to find out how he gets the ship away from Lando and how he becomes, you know, who he...
He lost her fair and square.
Right, exactly. So I got a feeling we're going to see some sort of card game, which, being the Star Wars geek I am, is called Sabacc. So, which should be interesting. So.
That's awesome that you know that.
I know, right?
So this is going to be like watching Dead Man's Chest, where we see like the dice game on the Davy Jones's ship.
Yeah, if I had to guess too, you're going to see some Boba Fett in here, whether people want to see that or not. I do. Yeah, some people don't want to for some reason. Brian, I'm with you though. I'm all about it.
Boba Fett was one of the coolest characters in it.
Yeah, everybody's real down about his backstory in the prequels and everything. I didn't mind that. I really didn't have a problem with it. Everybody's like, oh, he should remain mysterious and all this crap.
He still kind of does, because there's not a lot of development other than, hey, this is his dad, and
yeah.
His dad does about as much as he did in Empire.
All right, so I think we kind of covered Star Wars, gentlemen. Any final thoughts there, Brian?
No real thoughts on this one. I'm just a fan waiting for it to come out.
Yeah, I understand that. John?
Yes, I'm back.
You're back. We're wrapping up Star Wars, sir.
Cool. What do you want to know?
Final thoughts, sir. Final thoughts on this, on all the news.
Yeah, just watching the... Well, again, like I said, I didn't watch the interviews. Believe it or not, somebody I worked with on a movie earlier this year actually was there at the Comic-Con panel posting pictures of all three of the original cast members. And I'm like, all right, yeah, now I'm jealous of you out in L.A. but no, I mean, watching that little featurette or whatever you want to call it that they premiered, it was just... It's just everything I loved about watching the original series, watching not just the film stock, but like watching the design, watching the passion put into it, watching like just the fact that it was like watching somebody play with like the largest toy set available to them, seeing the sets built, the characters, the creatures created. It was so nostalgic. It was what got me into loving movies and loving filmmaking, was watching this HBO documentary called From Star Wars to Jedi back in 83 or 84 or whatever when it first premiered, and it was just watching them play in the creature shop, making all those, you know, making the sand barge of Return of the Jedi, making like all those monsters in Jabba's palace, like seeing all that, it was just like it brought so much of that back. I'm like, this is that kind of passion.
Yeah,
I loved it. I
can't agree with you more. I mean, the incredible amount of care that they're taking, that they took just to create recreate the Millennium Falcon, I should say, down to the bubble wrap that's on the seatbelts and the round table that, you know, you see everybody sit down when they take off from, they blast off out of Mos Eisley. That's they went to that incredible amount of detail. Apparently, there's even fuzzy dice in the. Gold fuzzy dice apparently that were hanging somewhere in the Millennium Falcon cockpit, and they even went online to find that, to try to find the closest match they could find. So the fact that they're going to that amount of detail just for a ship that's, you know, for something that you might see for a split second out of the corner of your eye off the camera.
I remember that actually from the very first one.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I mean, that they're really doing it right, that they're taking their time, that they're, I don't know, I just can't say enough. And that's why I wish Brian was here, because again, he would, you know, he's good to bounce off of. He's good to present the other view, because I'm the internal optimist here, but I just don't see much wrong with what they're doing right now.
And that's the thing is, I don't know. I mean, we were thrown for a blindside with the prequels because I don't think we expected that much of a filmmaker being so out of touch with the real world that Lucas was. with the prequels saying, oh, well, not only do we have characters who are bland and uninteresting, and we only wanted to see talks about trade negotiations for an hour and a half before we get to any kind of action, but we also have, you know, incredibly offensive stereotypes of both black, Jewish, and Asian people in this entire film. That's like, anyone else you feel like pointing out is just funny ethnically back in like 1940 or 1950 that is considered offensive by today's standards there, old guy?
Well, I know what he was going for. It just it went in the wrong direction, and I think he miscalculated greatly. On especially on Jar Jar Binks, and yeah, so
Yusa thinks,
Misa thinks, so perhaps
after we go to the Trade Federation, we go to the buffet. Like,
oh my lord!
Really?
All right, okay, gentlemen, moving on before we get sued. All-Star Game, Cincinnati, coming for the first time since, God, what was it, Brian, what was it, 1988? Yeah, so got a little clip here, play, a little promo, and then we'll talk about it a little bit more.
There are games, and then there's the All-Star Game. Champs, MVPs, and the hungry ones. It's the all-star game of all-star games, the all-star game that decides who's playing Game 7 of the World Series at home. Look at the guys on this diamond, in the box, on the mound. Simple game, bat meets ball. The guys heading here are just the ones that do it best. Queen City, Cincinnati, July 14th, the all-star game on Fox.
Okay, so welcome back, all-star game. Brian, what'd you think? What do you think about the All-Star Game coming to town?
Well, I'm not as excited as I normally would be. I really think that computer hackers have, like, changed the way everybody's represented. Mm. You know, we went so long during that voting process where you had eight of the nine, you know, eight starters were from Kansas City and, like, six were from St. Louis.
Yeah.
And there's, yeah. I'm sorry, but there's no way that New York and Boston were outvoted.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, and then you went down the line here, and Johnny Cueto ends up second in the running for the final vote, but doesn't get voted to the All-Star team when players get taken out for injury, which I knew they would.
Yeah. I really think with their system, it should be one vote per day. And I know that there's only so much you can do to prevent the computer hackers. But, you know, the fact that you can vote 35 times in one day without computer hacking is a bit ridiculous, in my opinion.
To be honest, Brian, they need to go. I know they want to. They're trying to get a different fan base, but they need to go back to the paper ballot.
Yeah.
Go back to the paper ballot so the people that are at the games,
yeah.
or you know what, go to a paper ballot and let people show up at the ballpark, not have to go in, not have to pay, but you have to physically be there to put one in.
Yeah, or maybe have like a booth outside the ballpark or something. You know, I don't know, something, because it's ridiculous. I think I don't know. I feel like it's overblown too. I think they put too much into it, or they tried to put too much into it. I think the rule that the winning team, you know, gets home field advantage, I think it's kind of stupid myself. I mean, I know they're trying to make it more exciting and make it mean something, but in the middle of the year, who the hell cares? You know, unless you're in contention, you know. But if
I completely agree with that. But they're trying to do is get rid of the what they, you know, try to get out of everybody's minds when they ended that All-Star game in a tie,
right?
You know, and then from then on, it was this time it means something, or this year we're doing, you know. And I can see why they try to do that, but to the same token, enough's enough. You know, why should Kansas City get the home field advantage when whoever from the National League was, you know, has such a better record?
Right.
You know, I don't agree with that at all, because, you know, and then you could do the fact of, you know, what if it's somebody who's not in contention right now,
mm-hmm.
who ends up going on a tear, and they had one person in the All-Star game.
Right.
So basically, the rest of the league you know, tried to get the home field advantage for them. Just dumb. That's just dumb for me.
Yeah, I always thought that they should have changed the rule, just made it cool and kind of fun. And after nine innings, if you're in a tie, make a home run, do a home run derby. I take your top three guys from each league, whoever hits the most home runs. Yeah, whoever hits the most home runs wins the game. It's at least entertaining. It's a little exciting. You know, you get to see the big boppers out there trying to hit home runs to win the game. You know, that was just my thought on the whole tie situation and all that went down. I just thought the rule thing I thought was a bit ridiculous. So,
I agree.
But to stay on the positive, not to go too negative on the All-Star game, it is bringing $65 million to the city, and the spotlight is on the city nationally. And we get to show off what I think is a pretty cool ballpark, albeit it maybe not the biggest ballpark in the world, but it is definitely...
Oh, no, it's a launching pad.
But it is definitely pretty cool. And as far as the launching pad...
Although I agree.
You know.
I agree. I was down yesterday for the Pepsi... summer block party for the All-Star Fest, and there was a ton of people down there. They got the zip line up and stuff of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I'm thinking to myself in the back of my head, you know, if I'm watching this on TV and they pan through this crowd and they show the All-Star Game concert, you know, with Demi Lovato, and or they, you know, they do any kind of pans of the river.
Right.
They're going to be, you know, because Covington put up that Ferris wheel, so their side looked good. And then there was a big festival going on in Newport for the Bacon Bourbon Beer Festival.
Oh, man, I still wanted to go to that, too. That sounded really good. Yeah, go ahead.
any kind of foot. And they even had spotlights on some of the bridges, and it made it seem like it was this big, you know, great place.
Right.
But for those of us from the Midwest, from Cincinnati, you know, we know that as soon as the cameras go away, the zip line's gone, the Ferris wheel's gone, there's not really all, you know, there's not going to be a festival down there all the time. They're going to take away some of the lights. And I just think it's kind of like a false representation of what the city is.
Well, I think it could be, I'm going to keep that optimistic view in the hope that they're going to use this as a launching pad to maybe try to develop, to bring more businesses in. I think that what they've done so far with the banks is pretty cool. I think it's got a long way to go. I'd like to see them extended down more towards Paul Brown Stadium and maybe even past Paul Brown Stadium, because if you go on the other side of Paul Brown Stadium, it looks like crap. But,
well, yeah, because you got the concrete and gravel.
Right, you know, but I mean,
get me wrong. I love the development. The development of the riverfront in the past 15 years is amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, by far, it has surpassed anything that I thought it was when they first originally brought it up in blueprints. And I love going down there, and I like going to all the different – there's tons of different restaurants. I mean, you have the Holy Grail that's right across from the ballpark.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you – did you know they put in a new Holy Grail, bought the store right next to them where Mahogany's used to be? And they put in a Mexican place, it's like a Mexican Italian type place.
Oh, really? No, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, that was one that went out of business or something, right? That was
next and it's it actually the it's worded in, I think it's Spanish, but it means Holy Grail. And they actually have a walk up window that you can buy pizza from.
That's hilarious.
And that's open. That's open till 2 or 3 in the morning.
Really?
Yeah. and that new code went into effect that the whole area down there by the banks, you're allowed to walk around with open containers, so it's more, feels more like behind Fenway and behind all that where they have all
the real,
you know,
party
behind Wrigley
scene.
Yeah, behind the big party scene.
Yeah,
that place down there is hopping.
Oh, I
all
bet.
The time. So I'm really excited about that. And I like you, I love going to the ballpark. I haven't been down since they just put up the new extra Jumbotron, so I can't wait to see that, though.
Yeah, I saw that on the TV. I haven't been down there yet either since they put that up, but that's going to be awesome. I mean, it every year they really try. I mean, obviously this year they really tried, but every year the Castellinis, the Reds organization, and the city, they always put something new in the ballpark. So, it seems to get bigger and better to me, and it makes it look better. It makes it better for a better fan experience, too, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, now if they would just pay to put a better team on the field.
Ooh, that's like a whole show and a half right there, man.
Well, you know, it's just funny that the Reds are doing so much for the fans, and they're putting so much into the ballpark that it's almost become, it's just an entertainment place. It's not focusing on winning games or anything else. They could probably care less as long as you're coming to the ballpark.
Right.
And that's kind of the way it's kind of felt the past several times I've been down there, you know, with all the contests they do during the game, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're adding all these extra things and everything else. But it's like, yeah, but, you know, you got a left fielder that doesn't know how to play left field. You know, you got a closer who should have been a starter, and you're paying him like he should have been a starter. Mm. You're not winning. You're not contending.
Right.
Well,
it could have been.
I think they need to make up their mind, Brian. I think they need to either try to make something work with what they got now, or they need to come up with a new 5-year plan, something, because right now they've been stuck in limbo, it seems like, for the last two or three seasons.
You think the best bet is to blow them up?
I'm beginning to think so, yeah. Unfortunately, I don't want to see Frazier go, but he might have to. I definitely think it might be time to let right fielder
Jay Bruce
go. Yeah, I think it's time to trade him.
Well, the problem is we've held on to him so long that he's had so many sucky seasons.
Yeah,
that his trade value is down. Now, I did see a trade proposed that it was Cueto and Phillips to the Yankees for a bunch of prospects. That was intriguing because it would free up a ton of money.
It would free up money, and it depends on what kind of prospects we get back. The trades we've made with the Yankees in the past, that we don't usually get much in return.
That's true. I really regret us trading Paul O'Neill.
Yeah, it seems like every time we trade with those, I'll say it, bastards, that they don't give us anything in return, you know. The evil empire, you know, as I like to call them, and they are the evil empire of baseball.
I agree. Yeah.
John, I know you're not a big baseball fan, my friend, but you got any thoughts on the All-Star game, sir?
Yeah, my extent of baseball knowledge is incredibly limited. I'm just actually sad to say at this point, I'm actually trying to see what's on the radar for the Oscars for next year. Those are, I always say, like, people traded baseball cards, learned statistics. I was always the who or the sound effects editing nominees of 1995.
Well, for our viewers out there, or listeners, I should say, for those of you who don't know, John actually put together a fantasy movie league for us 1 year, which was interesting. I kind of enjoyed it. We'll have to do that again sometime, John. I kind of liked that.
You know, I can probably do it for this year, since I got to work on a movie that's going to be in very big contention this year.
Well, there you go. All right, we'll have to talk about that. All right, well, I think we've wrapped up our three topics for the night, gentlemen. So I'm going to play us out here with a little bit of music, and we'll do a little bit of final thoughts while the music's playing here. And since we talked about the Evil Empire, I thought it only fitting to play, if it will play. Oh, it's not playing. Well.
It sounds so evil.
It's so evil it won't play.
Yes, yes. Well, Brian, what are your final thoughts, sir?
I think we had a very successful podcast. This is my first one, so I was glad to be a part of it.
Yep.
I think next time we'll be a little more fine-tuned, and we'll be possibly have a name for ourselves.
I hope so, because I would love to promote us.
but you know, thanks for everybody who listened or is going to listen.
Right.
Yeah, all both of you out there, we know who you are.
Well, we are out. We just don't have a name yet. We are two.
Yeah, you know, and I'm excited to get into deeper discussions about, you know, the upcoming Star Wars movie and the upcoming Superman versus Batman and, you know, a lot of the other ones. Unlike John, not marveled out, and I like to watch them all, you know, coincide with each other and see how they link together. I like to talk about the new Spider-Man, you know, how they're going to play that together, how I'm disappointed that we keep rebooting certain ones, but I am excited to see it get pulled in, you know, with Iron Man, you know, and the whole Civil War part. I think that'll be pretty cool. So, but there's my final thoughts.
Awesome, man. I thought that was John.
My final thoughts, kind of going off of that, seeing the very, very tail end of Guardians of the Galaxy, until they put a Howard the Duck movie on the schedule, I'm not completely sold on their extended universe.
Right.
But no, actually, as far as like being completely exhausted from all the Marvel films, it's just seeing everything that's on the radar. It's interesting to see how everything's tied in, but I think just Age of Ultron, which wasn't really an age, it was more like a less than a week, or the minor setback of Ultron.
I think it's more of like
a couple days at best of Ultron.
The minor nuisance of no
Ultron. It's like, hey, remember the couple days where you had no internet of Ultron?
Oh, wow.
I think that just kind of exhausted me watching that, and I think that'd be an interesting topic, is to see, is like, you know, for as much between Batman, Superman, between all the Marvel Universe, between all the non-Disney-owned Marvel Universe, you know, for anybody that grew up reading comics, is it an interesting age to be a comic fan right now? You know, I mean, is it something that we, you know, the stuff that we grew up with, is it being handled right? Is it being treated with the care and love that the people that, you know, that we grew up with are still being represented properly?
Well, that's a good point. That might be a good conversation for next week. Hold on to that thought. Yeah.
I want to do that one, and I want to do go TV mode next time and do the Flash, Gotham,
okay.
Arrow.
Oh yeah, I would love to talk Gotham. Yeah, yeah.
Because I like all those shows.
Okay. Yeah, I have no problem. We'll definitely put that on the doc. So there you go, a little coming attractions for our listeners out there for next week. So tune in. My final thoughts, it was a great week, great podcast, gentlemen, our second one, and hopefully many more to come. I am really excited still about the Star Wars. The news gets bigger, better, brighter, more and more and more. Hopefully, you know, we don't get oversaturated. I don't think we will, but we didn't even talk about Battlefront too much. I was going to talk about that and forgot. That's the new Star Wars game coming out. Graphics are outstanding in that game, absolutely outstanding. In fact, I may actually buy a PS4 just so I can play this game. It's the first time since I was 15 I've wanted to play a video game.
Really?
So, yeah. Want to buy a game system to go
Let's take a few seconds. Battlefront?
Battlefront, yeah. So you get to play...
Is it like...
Any
so battle... It's like a first-person shooter, or is it a...
It's a little bit of everything. You can be, you get to fly. You can fly TIE fighters. You can fly X-wings. You can be a first-person shooter for the Empire as a stormtrooper, or you can be a for the Rebels. If you haven't seen it, Brian, just type in Battlefront on YouTube, and they've got the actual gameplay footage. It is absolutely outstanding. And for our listeners out there,
it's like Halo.
It's but the graphics are 1,000 times better.
Well, yeah, I figure as much. Halo came out forever and a day ago.
Well, yeah, even the gameplay seems very smooth. Like I said, I've never been excited in a long, long time to play a video game and actually make me want to buy, you know, spend $400 on a game system just so I can play it, you know. So it's Disney. It's definitely, as much as Brian hates Disney and the whole Brian Birchie, of course, this is definitely a highlight because they've definitely put some money behind this. And
oh yeah,
again,
don't just say Brian, because there's two of us here.
Yeah, I know,
and
right?
One is not here. I even enjoy the Disney cartoons. So
yeah. Oh, speaking of Star Wars cartoons, real quick, they had the Clone Wars, the Lost Missions were on this morning, and I'm sure they'll have them on again on Disney XD. If you guys haven't checked those out, check them out. Great Star Wars storytelling as well as Star Wars Rebels. Cannot recommend it highly enough. If you are even a mediocre Star Wars fan, you'll enjoy Rebels as well as the some of the Clone Wars, especially the Lost Mission series. So, all right. Well, I think that that'll wrap it up for this week, gentlemen. So,
did you get your soundboard working? Are we going to have outgoing music?
Yes, I think we are. Via thanks to the power of YouTube.
My
backup system. So,
YouTube is your backup system?
YouTube is my backup
system. Your backup system is very popular with a lot of people.
Tune in
for the next show for a lot more hating, everyone.
Hopefully, Brian will be back with us. Not so much hating. He just brings that, you know, he brings that other side. He brings the dark side.
The gloom, the dark side.
You young bastards!
And since you got me fired up about the evil empire and we're talking about the dark side, gentlemen.
All right, we'll see you next week.
All right, for Brian and John.